Okay. I guess this is about the fifth Sunday we've talked about. While we're still going on after 35 years. And I thank Lord willing, I'll finish fifth Sunday. Maybe next Sunday we'll get back into Galatians unless something else comes up. Again, in the day and age in which we live, and I really mean it when I say to folks, I wish you had a better pastor. I wish I had a better pastor. I wish, but this is where we are. This is what the Lord's given us. And we have no choice, really, but to go on by His grace. And so we ought. And so by His grace, until He gives us some other directions, we continue on. We continue on. We looked at a few points. We continue on because the Lord has called us to this ministry. And we looked in particular at the case of Ezekiel, where the Lord said unto him, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. That's the message Ezekiel had. That's the message we have. Thus saith the Lord God. And whether they hear or whether they forbear, that's not our business. That's not our problem. For they are a rebellious house. Yet shall they know that there hath been a prophet among them. In this context came to mind, and I mentioned earlier, again, the many examples of such things in Scripture. But we've been called to this place. We've been called to this time. We've been called to our ministries. We've been called to what we do as men and women, not just preachers. And comes to mind the case of Esther, who Mordecai said unto her near relative, we usually call him an uncle, but he probably wasn't actually an uncle, but Mordecai said to her, then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. Think you can hide out? Think you can hide behind a mask, that you can hide behind things and you not be called to task and not be called to stand? For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. You know, the Lord calls us what to do and tells us what to do. And if we don't do that, He's already got somebody else that will. He's going to accomplish His will. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And as I've repeated often, as I remind myself, we're all been called to the kingdom for a time such as this. We're where we are because the Lord's put us here. And by the grace of God, I pray that we seek to continue on and to know and to understand what it is that He would then have us to do. The second reason that we've noted that we continue on is because since God's called us to this ministry, we know that we really couldn't quit even if we wanted to. We looked at the case, the premier case, if you will, of Jeremiah, that decided he was just going to quit. God had called him. God had told him what to do. And things got too tough. Things got too rough. Things got too uncomfortable. In Jeremiah 29, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Jeremiah had to continue on, and by the grace of God, I pray we continue on. We've been studying through Galatians, a chapter we haven't got to yet, but Paul talks about a similar sort of thing in Galatians 6 and verse 9, where he says this, let us not be weary in well-doing. Yeah, you sometimes get tired of it. Doesn't seem anybody listens, doesn't seem anything happens. Paul says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. That touches on some of the other things we've talked about as well. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Yeah, we get weary. I get weary in well-doing, and I don't do enough well-doing. But we're charged to continue on. And I believe, again, if the Lord's called us to something, we can't just set it aside. Even as Jeremiah could not set it aside, and as many other examples in Scripture. Last week we talked about Simon Peter that got pretty disappointed in himself and was just going to quit and go back fishing. But the Lord wouldn't allow that. And so we continue on. Number three, we continue on because as a husband, as a father, as a grandfather, I have to give an account for my own house. Paul wrote to young Timothy in 1 Timothy 5:8, but if any provide not for his own, and especially those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. We have to continue on that we might pass these truths on to our own children and to our own posterity and to those who follow us. Paul wrote to the saints in Ephesus in Ephesians 6:4, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We mentioned young families today and these days in which we live. And perhaps increasingly difficult to bring up children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But we're still commanded by the Lord, and the Lord will still provide. Proverbs, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. You know, if you plant those things, you instill those things, and they can't get away from them. I don't think that's a promise that, you know, all our children are going to grow up to be perfect and do everything, or that they're even going to be amongst God's elect. But it is a promise. If you instill those things, they can't get away from them. They can't depart from them. Train them up in the way they should go. And that will remain with them. I know things I was taught in my youth that come back to me. Reminders. And so we continue on because we have obligation as husband, father, grandfather, and in the broader senses, wives and mothers and grandmothers. Even as Joshua could say concerning his own family in Joshua 24:15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua had determined those things. Number four, we continue on because if we were to quit today, if we were to close the doors today without a clear direction from God, we would be sinning against His faithfulness in the past. Deuteronomy 2, verse 7. For the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness. For these 40 years the Lord hath been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing. He's always faithful. We have no excuse not to be faithful ourselves. As Paul writes in Hebrews, really reflecting on a verse that we covered in our Bible studies this week as well, but Hebrews 13 verse 5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He is faithful. He will be with us. We continue on number five. Because though we're small in number, there is a faithful remnant. It's a faithful remnant that is the Lord's. And it's not mine. And even as we see Elijah in the Old Testament, as he got the feeling he was the only one left, he said, "Lord, I'm the only one." And God said, "Yet have I left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth which have not kissed him." Paul writes to the saints in Rome, "Even so at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace." In Paul's time, in Elijah's time, in our time, and in all times until the Lord comes back, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And for their sake, we must continue on, that we might be ministering unto them. Number six, which we got up to last week and is at least started here, we continue on because the truth of the coming judgment seat of Christ, the reality of the judgment seat of Christ, will stand and give an account of the deeds done in the body. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. Paul says, "We," and he's speaking to Christians here, he includes himself in that, he says, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, whether they be good or bad." We're going to stand before the Lord. We're going to give an account. He already knows. Again, that's for our benefit, for our sake. In 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about this time in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11. He says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Again, he's speaking to Christians. "Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest." Those works we do, and they're all by God's grace. They're all by God's providence. "Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." You know, our works are going to be tried. We've already been tried. We were in our Savior when he gave himself on Calvary's cross, and God already poured his wrath out on him. But those works we've done in the flesh are going to be tried. They're going to be revealed by fire. You know, fire tells the difference between precious metals and precious stones and wood, hay, and stubble. "And if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire." Now, there's a time coming. We're going to stand before the Lord. We're going to give an account. We ought to keep that in mind as we live our lives, as we go forward in our lives, as we seek to live lives of obedience unto the Lord. Those works are going to be tried. Those that are wood, hay, and stubble are going to be burned up. And you know what? I think and ultimately when it's done, we'll be cheering at that too. They'll be gone. But those that endure, those that were accomplished in the power of the Spirit, they will bring a reward. But as we mentioned last week, and as our closing hymn last week said, and as the Scriptures tell us, those rewards, those crowns, all that we receive are going to be cast at the feet of our Savior. Because He's the one that enabled those things. He's the one that truly accomplished those things. And so, there's coming an accounting. There's coming a day And yeah, sometimes perhaps we look around, doesn't seem like, you know, we're gaining much or that we're accomplishing much. Sometimes we may get discouraged at how it seems that the world is advancing and how that the wicked are successful. David reflects on that, Psalm 73, verse 2. He says, "But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment." You know, the wicked seem to advance. They seem to be successful. We see in this world in which we live, seems the bad guys are winning sometimes, doesn't it? Later on in that same chapter, down in verse 12, David says, "Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I've cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. Then I thought to know this, and it was too painful for me." And verse 17, "Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood. Then understood I therein." Listen, you want to switch places with all these worldlings and all their possessions and all their property and all their acclaim? Yeah, I don't think you really want to. David says, "I went to the sanctuary of God and I understood their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction." As an old Baptist preacher, R.G. Lee, used to preach, payday someday. They may be seem to be riding high, but payday someday. And so it's more important now than ever that by the grace of God we continue on. And then seventh and finally, by the grace of God, we continue on because the end is in sight. You know, we can see that end. We run the race, as Paul told us, that we might finish that race. The end is in sight. And there's so many examples around us in the past we've looked at. You know, folks have been raising red heifers without blemish. We see the signs of the possible rising of the Antichrist as they're talking about implanting us with things, and without those implants you won't be able to buy or sell. There's indications that some are seeking a rebuilding of the temple. And listen, I don't claim to be a prophet or the son of a prophet. I don't claim to have all understanding of eschatology. But things become clearer and clearer as the time approaches. And I do believe in God's word. And I believe it's to be interpreted in its plain sense. And as we do that, I can't help but believe that the Lord's coming, that he's going to rule and reign, that he's going to establish a millennial kingdom. And as we look at these things that I don't know how you can deny them, that are on the horizon, Paul reminds us in Hebrews 10 and verse 25, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, and you look at what the state's trying to do for folks, you know, tell them you can't assemble. They don't want them assembling together. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. I get tired sometimes and want to quit, and then I look and I say, you know what? The end's not very far away. I'm 70 years old, and the end's not very far away from me. And if I were 20 years old, I would look and say, it doesn't look to me like the end's very far away. And as we see that day approaching, as we see the rise of civil war and global war and all the marks of the rise of the man of sin and ultimately the return of our Lord. And I often reflect upon, and I mentioned this last week, what the Lord said to the church at Thyatira in Revelation 2, verse 24. He said, but unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I put upon you none other burden but that which ye have already. Hold fast till I come. And as I used that illustration last week, which, you know, when you get to the end of the rope, you just tie a knot and hold on. The end is not far. I've always had in the back of my mind, I don't know about anybody else, but when I'd be running a long run, a PFT or an 8-mile run that I ran at Physical Fitness Academy, and sometimes working out, and it was like, you just say, you know what, I think I just quit now, you know, I mean, I'm tired, and what, but I would look and say, you know, you just continue on to the end, just is not that far. And by the grace of God, we need to continue on to the end. Pray that we might say with the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 4:6, he said, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I pray we might be able to say that we fought a good fight. We finished our course. Each of us don't have the same course. We don't all necessarily run the same race. You know, as the Lord dealt with Peter, and when he was asked about what was going to happen to John, he said, that's none of your business, Peter. Do what you've been told. Finish your course. I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And so, by the grace of God, even though maybe I even felt like quitting a couple times this week, but then I knew I'd been preaching this sermon, and I said, well, I don't guess I can do that. And I don't guess we can, any of us can do that. May we be privileged to hear from our Lord's lips, as the Lord spoke in one of his teachings in Matthew 25 and verse 21. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. It's all been by God's grace. I'm not trying to tell you to try harder in the flesh or, you know, prevail in your strength. But trust in him. Trust in his strength. Trust in his sustenance. And by his grace, may we continue on. May we hold fast till he comes. May we fight the good fight. May we finish the course. May we, by his grace and his grace alone, keep the faith. Because it's all been by his grace. And hopefully, all to his glory. And may we then, by his grace, continue on. Let's take our hymnals this morning. We'll stand and sing closing hymn, number 315, I've Been Washed in the Blood, number 315. You can stand if you like as we sing this closing hymn, number 315. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your faithfulness through the years. As we reflect upon 35 years as your church, Lord, as we reflect on what you've accomplished in our lives as individuals, as we reflect on what you've done in our families, as we reflect upon, Lord, what was accomplished in eternity. And that everlasting covenant, things beyond our comprehension and understanding. And yet, Lord, you've been faithful. And so, Father, we pray for grace to be faithful as we continue on. Lord, that we might continue on as we see the time approaching, that we might indeed finish the course, that we might be faithful to the end, that you might be glorified in your people. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for those who were able to join us via the internet. Father, we pray for our brother Hal as he's away from us, and pray you be with him as he travels home tomorrow, that you keep him safe. Pray, Lord, for those that need healing, for those that need comfort. We thank you, Lord, for the fellowship of the saints. And Father, we thank you most of all for our Savior, for his all-sufficient and complete atonement. And we pray in his name, amen.